Jesus Christ teaches us that the scriptures are written about him, and he revealed to the disciples on the road to Emmaus that the books of the law, the books of prophecy, and the books of Psalms were written about him. And we have paused in the book of Psalms and looking at all five books. The book of Psalms can be divided into five sections. Book four is Psalm 90 through Psalm 106. I hope that you'll write that down, and I hope that you'll keep a record of that. So if you are to do a comparison, remember book one deals, it correlates with the book of Genesis. So book four, we would be in the book of Numbers, and I'll share that thought with you in just a little bit. But I want to begin in Psalm 90, and then very quickly we'll turn back to the book three, and I want to show you how it ended last week. And boy, oh boy, the Word of God is just so beautiful. It is just absolutely perfect. And I'm so encouraged. My faith is strengthened as I look at the details of the Word of God. Let's look what the Bible says in Psalm 90. By the way, before I read it, Psalm 90 is a psalm of Moses. Most of the time, David writes the Psalms. Not all the time, but most of the time. David's the largest writer of the books of Psalms. But here we find a book of Moses, and very interesting psalm. I'm only going to look at one verse, but I'd like to read the whole psalm tonight. The Bible says, "Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God." I hope that you'll mark it. So powerful, so encouraging. "Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, Return ye children of men, for 1,000 years in thy sight, as but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as sleep in the morning, they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance." This is verse 9. "For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told." So quickly, just like telling a story. "The days of our years are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath." I want you to mark verse 12. Moses teaches us, "So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long, and let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children." And verse 17 is such an important verse. I hope that you'll mark it as well. The Bible says, "And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us, the work of our hands upon us, yea, the work of our hands establish thou it." If you have daughters in your home, like I had a daughter in my home. Now she's in her own home in Texas, Killeen, Texas to be exact, about 20 hours away, and with my son-in-law and my three grandchildren. I taught her the principle of Psalm 90 and verse 17. The beauty of an individual is more than just a reflection of their skin. For the child of God, their prayer should be that they have the beauty of the Lord upon them. And that should be the desire of every female, every woman. But the scripture is not making it gender specific here. And the scripture says about the children of Israel that the beauty of the Lord is to be upon them. Now that's a rabbit trail. I want you to turn back with me to verse 2, and I want you to look at the text for tonight. The Bible says in verse 2, "Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God." I want to pray with you, and I want to ask the Lord to bless this meeting and bless this message, and I want you to pray as well and ask the Lord to speak to your heart. Would you do that? Father in heaven, I do pray that you would help us tonight. Lord, I need your help. I need your blessings. Lord, I ask God that you would speak to our heart tonight from your word. I pray that the Holy Spirit of God would encourage us and give us peace from heaven. I pray, Lord, we'd be filled with the joy of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray you'd be help us all to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we ask that you would just help us to be able ministers of your word tomorrow evening. Lord, I pray that you would make us sharp for thy namesake. Lord, help us to take the word of God and get it to exactly who needs it tomorrow evening. Help us as we go out to soul win. In Jesus' name, amen. In Psalm 90 and verse 2, this is the first book and the second verse of the fourth book. You find this scarlet thread of redemption. This is a direct reference to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me give you just a few thoughts about this book, and then we'll move on quickly tonight. The first one is this. Last Wednesday night, we left on a poor note. Do you guys remember how we stopped? Do you remember how it ended last week? You don't have to turn the page for me, but maybe in your Bible you might. Look back with me at Psalm 89. That is the last psalm in the third book. In Psalm 89, and I want you to look with me very carefully at verse 38, the Bible says, "But thou hast cast off," and you might mark that in your Bible, and then the Bible goes on to say, "And abhorred, thou hast been wroth with thine anointed. Thou hast made void the covenant of thy servant. Thou hast profaned his crown by casting it to the ground." What we're talking about is the destruction of the throne of David. This ended on a terrible note. And to be honest about it, I'll remind you about what I said last week. The throne of David was not destroyed. It didn't matter what these men, or it didn't matter what the devil himself did. See, God established his word with David. God made a covenant with David, and it was not destroyed, it was just delayed. And it was delayed until the Messiah came, and that Messiah, of course, being the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. And the Lord established that kingdom forever. So this third book ends with this terrible thought of the failure of David's throne. But when we look in Psalm 90, we see that that Jesus Christ is the eternal King. Would you write that down? Maybe right over Psalm 90 and verse 2. And that's the main principle, the main thought that I want you to get tonight. Psalm 90 and verse number 2. Jesus Christ is the eternal King. I mentioned to you not very long ago that my favorite attribute about God is the fact that He is immutable. He never changes. And that is so important for us. If God cannot change, neither can anything about God change. And that means that God's love for you cannot diminish. Amen? You know, we need comfort when it comes or when it concerns the love of God. Sometimes we think that God's love is based upon our behavior, don't we? Sometimes we think that God's love is based upon our obedience. It is not. God's love is consistent. It changes not. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I'm thankful for that. To be honest about it, if you get your eyes on yourself, you'll always be discouraged because we're always changing. We're doing right sometimes and then doing wrong at other times. Sometimes successful and other times not so successful. So the child of God must always keep his mind and his eyes trained on the eternal God. We must always have our sights and our focus on the eternal one. And Psalm 90 is devoted to this thought that Jesus Christ is the eternal King, God's unchanging faithfulness. Now, this is faithfulness. Now, this is important because it corresponds to the book of Numbers. Now, there's many places I could go in the book of Numbers and share this with you, but we can all come to an understanding, and we'll look at some verses in a little while in the New Testament, that the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Do you remember that? 40 years, we've already read that tonight. We've already read that thought tonight. This wilderness wandering. Now, were they in obedience or disobedience? They were in disobedience. But I want you to understand, even the disobedience or the unfaithfulness of the children of Israel did not change the faithfulness of God. It stayed the same. So what I want you to see is Psalm 90 tonight, God's unchanging faithfulness in the light or in reference to the book of Numbers when we talk about man's unfaithfulness or man's failures. So the first one is very simple. We see the eternity of Christ, and I hope that you'll write that down. There are two verses that I want you to mark down, two references I want you to add to that. One of them is found in the book of John, John chapter 1 and verse 1. We understand that Jesus Christ is more than just the Son of God. I've mentioned this so many times, and this is so important. I hope I say it so many times that you catch it. I hope that you hear me repeat this over and over again till you come to the realization that you cannot stop with the statement that Jesus is the Son of God. Is Jesus the Son of God? Absolutely. But is He more than the Son of God? Absolutely. And here's what we must come to the conclusion, that Jesus Christ is God incarnate, or God in the flesh. He is Emmanuel, God dwelling with us. In John chapter 1 and verse 1, the Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Some of the modern day translations of the scripture add just a single letter here. It's the letter A, okay? I asked someone not too long ago, I said, "How important do you feel that one letter difference in your King James Bible is? How important do you think just one letter is?" He said, "Not very." I said, "Well, let me show you from their Bible. I want you to look very carefully at John chapter 1 and verse 1. I'm going to add one letter, and I want you to tell me how important it is. The Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was," and here's what they add, "a God." How significant is one letter? Here's what I want you to see, that every jot, every tittle, every word, we believe in an every word Bible. That's the reason why that the King James Bible is the only reliable Bible that we can use. Is it is not only been inspired, but it has been preserved for us. We have the preserved Word of God. God has kept it. Now there's a point here that I want to make. I want you to see that Jesus Christ is the Creator God. In John chapter 1 and verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God." And then I want you to listen very carefully to verse 3. "All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men." I'll stop reading there, and I want you to tie this to verse 14. Because you truly don't know who the Word is until you compare Scripture with Scripture. And the Bible says in verse 14, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So we understand by this simple teaching of John chapter 1 that Jesus is the Creator God. Amen? Jesus is the Creator God. Now I want you to turn with me to the book of Colossians. I didn't plan to turn here, but I feel like these are just absolutely essential. Colossians chapter number 1, and I want to share with you just a few verses. I won't keep you long here, but we're talking about Jesus Christ being the eternal God. This scarlet thread of redemption, what is it teaching us? In the fourth book of Psalms, it's teaching us that Jesus Christ is the eternal King. In the book of Colossians, and by the way, Colossians is such an important book of the Bible, I recommend that you read it phrase by phrase. What I mean by that is this: you cannot read an entire verse at a time. It's just too much. It's too much. You have to read one phrase at a time. When you come to a comma, stop and go back and read it and learn what the Lord has taught from His Word, what principle that He is teaching from just that phrase. They're also deep. They're also powerful. They're also important. Now I want you to look with me in Colossians chapter 1, and I want to read quite a few verses here, but I want you to see that very quickly Paul defines who he's speaking about. He's speaking about Jesus Christ. In Colossians 1 and verse 1, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of truth of the gospel, which is come unto you, as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth, as ye also learned of Epaphras," or dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto you, unto us your love in the Spirit. Look at verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you, and desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints of light, whom hath delivered us from the power of darkness. Who's delivered us from the power of darkness? It's Jesus Christ. Now here the subject of Colossians chapter 1 has moved from Epaphras and the church at Colossae, and now all eyes are on Jesus. What can you learn about Jesus here? What can strengthen your faith about Christ here? Look with me at verse 13. The Bible says, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Isn't that wonderful? In whom we have redemption through his blood. Whose blood? It's Christ, even the forgiveness of sin. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Now, I want you to mark verse 16. This is so important because, listen, if you get a hold of a Jehovah's Witness, they're not going to understand this simple truth. They cannot understand that Jesus Christ is the Almighty God that hung the heavens and the earth. They cannot, listen, you get outside of Baptist circles and you have a conversation with anyone that is of a cult or any other religious system, they're going to hang up on the fact of who Jesus is because they cannot understand that Jesus Christ is the Creator God, our Savior, the one who bled and died on the cross of Calvary, the one that was hung by the nails on the cross of Calvary. He was the Creator God. He is the Creator God. Notice what the Bible says in verse 15, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him were how many things? What does that mean in the Greek? What's it mean in Hebrew? What's it mean in Pig Latin? What's it mean in hillbilly? It's all. It says, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. Would you mark it again? All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Now I want you to mark verse 18 because this ties back to Psalm 90 and verse 2. The Bible says, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. What a wonderful truth that the Lord Jesus Christ is the eternal Christ. He is the eternal Messiah, the eternal King. That's our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's turn back to the book of Psalms. Now this time, let's look over at Psalm 93. I must move quickly. I've used way too much time. I'll move much faster now. Look with me at Psalm 93, and hopefully we'll only have you to turn one more time, and that'll be to the book of Hebrews, and we'll make a little trail through the book of Hebrews. I've already read a lot of Scripture tonight. I don't want to apologize for that, but I want to read Psalm 93 now. The first three verses are essential when we look at this scarlet thread. Have you seen it? Have you seen the scarlet thread come out? Okay, it's going to be exposed again here. We can see our Savior in verse 1. The Lord reigneth. He is clothed with majesty. Would you say amen? The Lord is clothed with strength, wherewith he hath girded himself. The world also is established that it cannot be moved. Now, would you mark verse 2? Thy throne is established of old. Thou art from everlasting. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. Thy testimonies are sure. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. I find that to be very important. And this is, not only do we see, number one, the eternity of Christ in book 4, but I also want you to see, we see the reign of Christ. And how long does he reign? How long does our Savior reign? He reigns forever and ever. We're just here for a season. We're just passing through. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Dear friend, don't forget, we're just pilgrims and strangers passing through. This world is temporary. Don't set your eyes and your focus on this life. We're only here for a season. Not only will our life be like Moses described it in Psalm 90, the Lord Jesus Christ could return at any moment. Please turn your eyes upon your Savior that reigneth forever. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 16 confirms this truth. The Bible says, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's right. It's wonderful. Let me get you the third one now. Turn with me to Psalm 95. We're looking again. This is just on the same page for me. Psalm 95, we're looking at the scarlet thread come out again. Christ, this is a messianic psalm speaking of our Messiah, Psalm 95, verse 7, for he is our God. I like that, don't you? I know who I worship. The Lord Jesus Christ, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, isn't it beautiful? Don't you love the scripture? Isn't it so helpful? Isn't it so encouraging? The Bible says, harden not your heart as in the provocation and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. Look what it says. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation, speaking about the time in the wilderness. Again, a reflection back to the book of Numbers. And said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. Now, very quickly, I want you to travel to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 3. And I want you to look in Hebrews chapter 3, and we're going to stay in Hebrews with the rest of these, because now for the rest of, there's three more, this one and two more, they all have a direct quote from the book of Hebrews, which confirm that they're, number one, that they're messianic and they deal specifically with Jesus Christ. And then they have a second point. This specific one teaches us that the Lord Jesus Christ in Psalm 95, write this down, this is number three, the rejection of Christ. We've looked at the eternity of Christ, we looked at the reign of Christ, now we're going to look at the rejection of Christ. And you see, the people, they just would not obey the Lord. They would not hear his voice. If you'll look in Psalm 95 and verse 7, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if ye will hear his voice. Did they hear his voice? No. Then the scripture says, harden not your hearts. Did they harden their hearts? Over and over again they did. This was the children of Israel. Now, look with me in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter number 3, and I want you to see a direct reference here. And this is beautiful how the scripture ties together. It should strengthen your faith. It should encourage you how the scripture reinforces itself with other scripture. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 7, the Bible says, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, this is Hebrews chapter 3 verse 7, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. So the point is this. The point is, God's people have always hardened their heart towards the Lord Jesus. I didn't say lost people. I said saved people. God's people do this. God's people have turned and hardened their heart on the Lord Jesus Christ himself. May that not be said of us. If there was one thing that we could examine and one thing that we could look at, may God help us to judge ourselves. May God help us to examine ourselves that our heart is not hard towards our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Oh, it's so important. So we see the rejection of Christ in Psalm 95. Two more, and then we'll be finished. I have 6 minutes left, and I'll be on time. Let's look in Psalm 102. Oh, this one is so beautiful. Psalm 102, make your way over there, and I hope that you'll mark this one again, a messianic psalm. We're seeing the scarlet thread of redemption. Jesus told the disciples on the road to Emmaus that the psalms testified of him, and here it is, Psalm 102 and verse 25. Of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth. This is Jesus. Of old. The Bible says, and the heavens are the work of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Oh, may I read it again? Have you grown tired of hearing the scripture? Listen to what the Bible says here. They shall perish. What is going to perish? The foundation of the earth. The heavens. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment. As a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. I want you to understand that the life that we have in us is the life of the eternal God. We will live and reign forever because He lives and reigns forever. Do you understand the eternal destiny, the eternal future of Jesus Christ and the Lord our God is the same as ours because we have the life of the Eternal One in us? I'm so thankful for that. It happened when I was 5 years old, when I asked the Lord Jesus Christ to be my Savior, when I asked Him to forgive my sin, and when I trusted Him to take me to heaven when I died. That's when it happened. John chapter 5, verse 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life and shall not come into condemnation. Isn't it wonderful? We have the life of the eternal God living within us. Now, look with me over in the book of Hebrews. I ask you to hold your place there. This time, Hebrews chapter 1. This is directly quoted for us in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 10. Hebrews 1 and verse 10, it's so strengthening to me to see how the Scripture complements itself. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 10 says, and thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they shall wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture thou shalt fold them up, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. Isn't it wonderful? Who's this speaking of? It's speaking of Jesus Christ. Do you remember that one of the greatest evidences, one of the greatest proofs that Jesus is God is in Hebrews chapter 1? Do you remember me pointing that out to you? Do you remember me showing that to you? It's right here in this chapter. Would you look with me in verse 5? It says, for unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. We understand that the Bible says here, and again, when he bringeth it in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. I'm telling you right now, there's only one person that the angels of heaven are going to rejoice and are going to worship, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, His worship will not be divided. It never has been divided, nor will ever be divided. God is a jealous God. And I'm telling you, He just about has wiped Israel off the face of the mat more than one time, off the face of the earth forever and ever, because they worshiped other gods. God will not have it. And I'm telling you tonight, apply this principle, get this thought in your mind that Jesus Christ is the eternal God and He is the only one that we will worship throughout all eternity. What a blessing. He's my Savior. He bled and died for me. And listen, oh, what a blessing. What an encouragement it is to be able to live for Him, for all that He's done for us. Oh, I love how it ties together. Last one, turn back with me to the Psalms. And this time, look with me at Psalm 103. Oh, we're almost out of time, but may I read just a little bit more? I want to read this psalm over and over again. And honestly, I'd like to make this our church psalm. It means so much to me. It's just so precious to me. It has so much power with me. It speaks to my heart. I hope that you'll fall in love with it. I hope that there's No other psalm that you'll love more than this one. It's just so beautiful. Psalm 103, and we'll read all the way through verse 12. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Do you believe that? Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. I love this verse. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. I love verse 10. The Bible says, he hath not dealt with us after our sins. I'm glad that God's given me mercy instead of judgment and justice. The Bible says, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. Now verse 12 is the verse that you have to mark that ties back to Psalm 103 is going to tie to Hebrews chapter 10 in just a moment. Here it is. This is the verse. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Now let's look at it in the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 10, and we'll be finished. Hebrews chapter 10, and I'll just read I would love to read this whole entire passage of the Hebrews. It's so powerful. Hebrews chapter 10, it's dynamite powerful. I'm telling you, Hebrews chapter 10, it is just, you will shout when you read Hebrews chapter 10. It's just so powerful. But let's look at just verse 16 and 17. The Bible says, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And then here's verse 17. I hope that you'll mark it and tie it to Psalm 103 and verse 12. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. I want to share with you one more thought, and we'll be finished for tonight. And Katie, I'm going to ask you to go ahead and go downstairs, if you don't mind, and get Sable. And we want to pray with her. And here's what I want you to think about. God is omniscient. That means that he is all-knowing. And the word, we say that God is all-knowing. And I want you to see that that word all is a limiting word. Can I explain that to you? If I were to say that God is all-knowing, it is a limiting word. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take all of the microphones except this one. This one's not part of my illustration. I'm going to take all of the microphones and I'm going to put them on this bench, okay? I'm going to take them all. Okay, I put all of the mic. We're not using this one. I put all of the microphones on that bench. Do you see what I did? Okay. Now, they're all gone. That is not a good representation of God. And here's the reason why. Because God has limitless knowledge. There's no limit to God. There's no limit to his knowledge. He has limitless knowledge. Now you say, Brother Fred, how does that apply? Because there are some things that God doesn't know. See, God only knows what he wills to know. God only knows what he wants to know. And what he has chosen not to know is my sin. Look at it. All and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. In the omniscient mind of the holy God, my sins are not there. Yes. Thank you, dear Jesus. Thank you, dear God. They are gone. The Bible says in Psalm 103, would you look again? It's so powerful. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. The omniscient God chooses not to know our sins. They're covered they're cleansed, they're washed in the blood of Jesus. Isn't it wonderful? I'm so thankful I'm saved. I'm so thankful I'm on my way to heaven. I want to ask you to stand with me. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If God has spoke to your heart tonight and you say, Brother Fred, he deserves more. He deserves more than what I've given him. God has spoke to my heart tonight. Would you pray for me? Would you lift your hand and take it back down? God bless you. He's a wonderful God. Here's what I'm going to ask. I'm going to ask Katie and Sable to come up. And Katie and Sable, I'd like for you to come over here and sit. And Shelly, will you join them? And I'm going to ask the ladies tonight to come over and put your hands on Katie and Sable. And I want you to gather around her and I want you to pray for her. She's got a doctor's appointment tomorrow and we're going to pray that God will help them. I believe that God's able to do this. We're going to agree together on that. And Austin, I want you to come up here and sit on this side if you don't mind. Sit on this side and I'm going to ask the men to come and gather around Austin. And let's just all pray for this family. Man, put yourself in their shoes. Go ahead and start moving this way, ladies and men both. And let's pray and ask God that he'd work in this doctor's appointment tomorrow. Amen. Thank you for responding. Amen. Go ahead and have a seat there, Austin, and go ahead and have a seat, Katie, and let these ladies put their, gather all around her, ladies, and let's put our hands on little Sable, and let's pray for her and ask God to help her. And let's put our hands on Austin, and let's ask God to help him. Let's pray together.